My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour numero dos. I'm Kyle, that's James. We're taking you up to noon, then we will hand it off to D'Lo and KC. I want to talk about, real quick, what you looked worried.
No.
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay, that was...
We're on the air.
I know. We definitely know that's
all that matters, Kyle.
The way your face looked just now, though, I thought something bad happened.
Nope.
Whew. All right.
We're A-okay.
We've been talking a little bit about the All-Star game. We talked Kings Heat, of course, the Kings and Heat face off tonight. The Kings looking to make it 5 consecutive victories, looking to get to a season high 10 games over 500.
Mm.
How important do you think that is?
10 games is big.
Yeah.
Because once you get to 10, it's you've sort of secured yourself in who you should be.
Yeah.
Like you're on a path where you're a 45 to 52 win team. Mm-hmm. Like right there, it depends whether you pick up you know, you start making some moves and stuff, but you're on a specific path, and when the late season comes and a bunch of teams cash it in the final 25, mm-hmm. you are not one of those teams, especially when we get this close to the All-Star break, when you're like, you see where this thing's heading, mm-hmm. and then a lot of teams go, okay, we're good. We know who we are, and we're going to play for draft lottery, even though it's a bad draft,
right.
Or suspect draft. We'll see how it all works out in the end. But I think 10 is big.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with that. Let's put a pin in that and discuss that a little bit more later on. We've got Frank in Elk Grove. We were talking about Domantas Sabonis making or not making the All-Star team. Frank had a question. Frank, what's going on, man?
Hey, I'm not sure if James knows the answer to this, but I was just thinking about Sabonis' contract when it was announced, right? And isn't there like an incentive in there for him to make the All-Star in the NBA teams, like $2.5 million or something? So if he doesn't make it, doesn't that go from a likely incentive because he made it last year to an unlikely incentive, which means that the Kings will carry a lower cap hit into the offseason? That was pretty much my question, so I'll take the answer off the line.
Thanks, Frank.
Yeah, so his incentives, he gets $1.3 million for an all-star bid, and then I believe his other is an unlikely incentive, which is the all-NBA, which is... he gets another 1.3, so he can get $2.6 million. But the All-Star incentive for him, because he is a 3-time All-Star, has become a likely incentive, so it does count against the cap. And then the unlikely incentive, either way, they count against the cap. But in different ways. So like they count at the end of the year, but they don't count at the beginning of the year. So that unlikely, you're probably right. The unlikely, I still believe is an unlikely incentive if he makes for him to make the all NBA team, because it's only 15 players. So even if you've made it a couple of times, I still think it's an unlikely incentive.
All right.
Yeah. I can do some more research on it, but you know, I don't know that they're all likely. Like, well, I don't know, maybe.
And again, this goes back to what I, and now granted, if you negotiate an all-star incentive into your contract, that's your MO. But you're banking on fan voting and then players and coaches and all these other aspects that go into it. I wouldn't base my potential pay on the whims of people on Twitter. That's all.
No.
that's my take.
Yeah.
I was perusing The Athletic today, which I tend to do. I read, no big deal. And a couple of names I want to throw at you.
Yep.
As possible fits for the Kings.
All right.
How do you feel about Daniel Gafford, starting center for the Wizards?
Oh, I've always liked Daniel Gafford. When Daniel Gafford was coming out in the draft, he's a player that I thought, hey, if you could get him in the late first, early second, I like him. Mm-hmm. He, for the first couple of years of his career, was just a stick figure. Really, his body transformation reminds me a lot of Willie Cauley-Stein.
Mm-hmm.
Willie Cauley-Stein quietly became like a beanpole. Mm-hmm. To a guy who actually started to thicken up, not upper body. He was still smaller upper body, but like his lower, he was able to build his legs, and
yeah,
you know, he was able to become more of a like sturdy player.
Yeah.
Gafford has developed, and he is a shot blocker. And if you were looking for somebody who's going to be, you know, you're going to be able to keep around for a few years,
mm-hmm.
he's a guy that, like, if you're looking at young JaVale McGee type stuff.
Yeah.
I think Gafford kind of fits into that mold right there. I like Gafford.
This year he's 10.8 points, 7.8 boards, 1.6 assists, averaging more than 2 blocks a game.
Yeah.
Would you do a heavily protected first, Davion Mitchell and Chris Duarte?
No. I don't think. Because
would you do Mitchell and Duarte?
Yeah. Maybe. I'd like to see the contract that he's on. Because that's usually like one of the determining factors for me. So without having his contract.
I think
contract,
he's got 2 years left.
Yeah.
And $12 million a year.
Okay. You know, I think some of the issues that you have is, number one, you're talking about a player who's never played for a good team.
Mm-hmm.
Like for the most part in his career, he's been on a bad, you know, well, his whole career, he's been on a bad Wizards team. He's an Arkansas guy, which is interesting.
He's got 2 years after this one, 13.3 and then 14.3.
Yeah, see, that's a lot for me.
Okay.
Like, to be honest, okay. I don't mind him. And if it was part of
not at that price.
A bigger deal, like, but I'd want to know why I'm doing it, right? So, and I do think he can play, and I just don't know, you know, he's not a guy who, he doesn't even shoot threes. Like,
he has never attempted a three in the NBA.
He has one attempt. He has one attempt in the 2021-22 season, and he missed it. Yes. So one total. So for me, like,
this is also this also feeds into my whole thing about Domas needing to shoot more threes. It gives them more options about who can play next to him.
No, anyways, totally. Totally. But like, to pay a guy 13, 14 million over the next couple of years, I didn't know his contract was that high.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically like Rashawn Holmes cash. That's a good chunk of change for a guy who might play 15 or 13 minutes a night behind Domantas Sabonis.
Sure.
If he can play alongside Sabonis.
That would be, that was the impetus behind this for me. And yeah. That's where the discussion comes in for me, because you're right. It's a very obvious no if you're expecting him to be the JaVale McGee, Alex Len mold, right?
Yeah.
But if you believe that, hey, you can get a shot blocking center next to Domantas Sabonis, and offensively you're going to have to change some things around, and maybe it does mean Domas hanging out on the perimeter a little more and shooting some threes,
mm-hmm.
then so be it for me.
Okay.
To your point, is changing everything they're doing offensively right now really the move?
Yeah. So last week we had Jerry Reynolds on, and Jerry Reynolds brought up a name that's like in the same sort of vein, and he brought up Jalen Smith. and is like, hey, look, you know, Indiana just made a move for Siakam. They're super crowded now with Isaiah Jackson there, with Obi Toppin there. Like, hey, why don't you look at that as a potential player? And he makes more sense. 10.5, 5.6 rebounds, only 0.6 blocks. But the key to him is he's shooting 46.9% from three. Now, he is getting the benefit of being fed by Tyrese Halliburton. Mm-hmm. And he's, you know, because he's a career 33.1% three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
But Jalen Smith is kind of in that same type of, you know, long athletic guy that might be able to come in and do a little bit of damage defensively, but also hit a three.
Yeah.
I think he could steal minutes alongside Domas, where I don't think that's the case with Gafford.
All right. The second, do we have time? Yeah, okay. I'm gonna get you one more here. I'm gonna get you one more here. Quentin Grimes for the Knicks.
No, I mean, like, yeah, Quentin Grimes is a bucket, but I put him in the same vein as like Malik Monk. If you're making that move, it's because you're planning for the future.
Oh, see, I think defensively,
yeah,
what he brings is awesome, and his offense has fallen off a lot this year. He's only shooting 36.3% from three. He was up around 38, I think, last year. He might have been more than 38 last year. But I just think defensively, I think he could be what you thought you were getting with Chris Duarte.
Okay.
I like that idea way more than I like the Gafford idea.
Okay.
It's just, but again, I don't know how eager the Knicks are to move on from him. And I'm not giving up like major assets. If they're going to give him away for next to free, then great. But I don't know how much they'd be willing to do that.
I think it's cost prohibitive. That's the problem that you're going to have with Grimes is I think that the Knicks believe he's worth a lot more than, and I think sure. There are certain teams out there that really like what he brings. He's only at $2.4 million this year and $4.3 next year, which are both team options. So like super, super affordable. And if he's a guy that grows into a much bigger role, then sure. And you're gonna have bird rights to him. You're gonna have like restricted free agent and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a guy that I would definitely like consider.
Yeah, but if they're gonna want like an unprotected first for him,
well, and that's what I think. Like sort of the buzz out there is if the Knicks are gonna get rid of him, what they're trying to do is stockpile as many picks.
Sure.
So when they go to add that next humongous piece that they think that they'll add this summer, that they've got like an arsenal to do it. And They already have a war chest. They want more.
They want a more chest.
A more chest. Yes.
I'm sorry. That was stupid.
It's okay.
Terrible. We'll talk more trade stuff. We got a Kyle Kuzma thing out of The Athletic as well from David Aldridge and Josh Robbins on... Robbins offered an idea on what the Kings could give up for Kyle Kuzma. Didn't necessarily love it.
No.
But we'll dive into that. We'll also dive back in to this Kings Heat matchup tonight down in Miami. All of that's coming up in the final, what do we got? Math, 47 minutes on The Insiders. It's ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader. Back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right, I'm Kyle. That's James. Kings taking on the Heat of Miami. And let me tell you, that Miami Heat is made worse by the humidity.
The humidity is so bad.
I know it's not Miami, but I went to Key West recently.
Yeah.
Not to brag. And it was awful.
Man, I've been to like Fort Lauderdale and like Stuart, Florida, above that, and in Orlando. And man, if you haven't been there, if you haven't been, like for people who are like California people, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's so, like the humidity is so bad that you are drenched in sweat every single moment of the day,
no matter what
you're doing. Like you're just sitting there, you're drenched in sweat.
I sat outside for an hour doing sea glass art and had to go inside, shower, and change before going out.
Yes. Then the problem is you walk into any store, and in order to keep the moisture and mildew out, they have their air conditioners cranked to like 60.
Yes.
So you're covered in sweat. You walk in, you instantly have the chills and you're freezing.
Yes.
It is absolutely miserable.
It's awful.
There are so many better places in the world to go to than
there. Dude, when I was down there, and I've been to a couple different places in Florida a couple times, don't judge. And when I'm down there, it's like, why do people want to play sports here? I'm not built for this.
But you know what? De'Aaron Fox will tell you he loves the humidity
of Houston. He's from there.
Yeah, way more than he likes the California dry heat. Oh man, I'll take the California dry heat all day long.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I mean, I it's hot. Like, yeah, it gets super hot where you walk outside and you're like, oh, it hits you in the face. You're like, I do not want to be outside anymore, especially if you're like walking on blacktop. But come on now.
I lived in Arizona for a couple years, and I will say, so I get the dry heat aspect of like California,
mm-hmm.
because up here we might get a week of 113, 115. In Arizona, it's like, and again, that's in a really bad year where it's dude, it is, but like 107, 108. In Arizona, it is just like 3 months of highs of 110 and above. And I don't care at that point that the heat's dry.
Yeah.
It sucks, dude.
Dude, I talked to my brother. My brother lived in Arizona. I talked to him at like 11 o'clock at night one night,
mm-hmm.
and it was still 109 at 11 o'clock at night. Like, it just doesn't cool off. It's just absolutely miserable.
Brutal.
Like, I don't even want to be there.
Brutal. All right, let's get some keys to a Keys victory. Let's get some keys to a Kings victory tonight in Miami. Is to take on the Heat with a 4:30 tip. James, what is your first key for the Sacramento Kings?
Oh, my goodness. My first key.
My goodness.
You caught me. no, win the trip. Win it. Like, that's it. Win the trip. You start 3-0. You're on a 7-game road trip. You win this game, you come back 500 or better. You've already guaranteed. You come back. You're better than 500. You've already guaranteed a winning.
Oh, on the trip.
You've already guaranteed a winning trip. And that's actually a big deal. Like, if you can do this, it's a big momentum builder going forward. And mm-hmm. to keep it rolling, to get to 5-game win streak at the right time, to start getting that separation where some mm-hmm. teams are struggling, that's a huge moment for the Kings.
Yeah, yeah. I'm right there with you. Moment in a season that's been as up and down as this one, you need to find an up and ride it for a while.
Yeah.
And I think you can do that tonight. Key number one for me is you got to bring the dogs. Like, you thought Memphis was tough because of how they played. I know the Heat culture thing is a bit now, but with Eric Spoelstra and with Jimmy Butler and with Pat Riley and the foundation and the culture that they've built, they're going to bring it.
Mm-hmm.
And they do not want to get to 8 losses in a row. As bad as the Kings want to get to 5 wins in a row, the Heat do not want to get to 8 losses in a row. That'd be very embarrassing for them. I think you're going to get their very best punch tonight. And they have some dogs, and you got to bring your own.
Yeah, and you know what, Kyle? I'll add to that. If you're the Kings, the Heat play the Wizards they fly to Washington for their next game.
Mm.
You know that they know that they're going to get a get right game. They can see it. You need to push that off one more game.
Mm-hmm.
You need to say, okay, you guys know you're going to get right next game,
yep.
but you're not going to get right against us.
Yep.
So it's a big deal.
No doubt. Number two.
Don't play down to the level of competition. They've lost 7 straight. Don't give them life.
Yeah, this is a weird one because you think play down to the competition like Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
But also with how the Heat are playing right now. And frankly, the Kings are just better than Miami.
Yeah.
So I agree with you. When I first saw this one, I was kind of like, eh. But I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, a team that's lost 7 in a row, you can't be the team that breaks the streak. And I think yep. we saw that last year where the Kings let off the gas against a couple of teams that were really struggling. Wasn't it like Charlotte had lost 11 in a row and beat the Kings?
Yes.
It was something bizarre like that?
Yes.
You can't be that team this year.
No.
Well, you can't be that team right now.
Right. Going into February, that's not where you want to be.
No.
As a club.
Yep.
Number two for me, I changed the turnover thing to like fundamentals, dude. Just do the fundies.
Yeah.
Don't throw the ball out of bounds. Don't try crazy cross-court passes. Don't try no-look bounce passes in the lane. Don't try. If Miami's going to generate some turnovers on their own, you don't need to give them free ones. And you don't need to let them get out and run, because offensively, they're not super awesome. And if you let them start getting out and run, getting out in transition, it just makes life a lot easier for a team that's really been struggling. So if you go out and you play clean basketball, you have a way better shot of making it 8 losses in a row for them.
So what you're saying is, don't look like you just went out all night long in Miami the night before. Yes.
Exactly what I'm saying.
All right. My third key. Show your All-NBA.
Mm.
Sabonis beat out Bam for the third team All-NBA center spot last year, and he's been the better player.
Mm-hmm.
Bam brings a lot to the table, but this is another game where he can show that he is the better player and he is the deserving player when it comes to All-NBA and the awards that come after that.
We always talk about like recognition with Sabonis, right? We just talked about it earlier with the whole All-Star thing and the popularity contest.
Yeah.
If you go out and look, what do you have? 20, 26, and 5 the other night?
Yeah.
Against Memphis? Like, that's an amazing stat line. That's a great stat line. You also did it against Memphis.
Against nobody.
Against a depleted Memphis
team. Yeah.
And it's interesting you say nobody when Memphis has the reigning defensive player of the year. Just continues my continues my thoughts on Triple J. But but if you go out, if you're Sabonis and you go out and you have 18, 16, and 9 in a win against Bam Adebayo in the Heat, that's the kind of thing that you go, wow, he had a near triple-double, or he had a triple-double against Bam? Like, dang.
Yeah.
That's the kind of game that gets you on the map.
He's actually played well against Bam in the past, and he gets Bam in foul trouble, and then Bam will get him in foul trouble, and then Baltimore in foul trouble. It's like...
Perfect.
That might be something that I remember when I'm going through Prize Picks this evening.
Fourth key, stay out of foul trouble. No.
Yeah.
Third key for me, speed them up. The Heat don't like to play fast. They are 29th in pace. They want to get you in the half court, and they want to grind you into dust. And if you get out and run on them, I don't think that they have a ton of answers.
Yeah, the Kings have really, really pushed the tempo lately, and they've tried to get back to who they were of even on a made basket, getting the ball out of bounds, getting it back in bounds, and racing up the court.
Yes.
And it's something that if you do against this Miami Heat team, I don't know that they can keep up all the time.
No, and especially, and even when you get, this is something we talked about a lot earlier in the years, it doesn't even need to be get the ball out of the basket and sprint down the court and get into your offense as quick as possible. But it is, when you do get into your offense, do it with force. Like, do it with purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You have to move. And I think if you can do that and keep Miami from just getting set in their defense, they're eventually going to figure out what you want to do. And if you make it a little more frenetic, you speed them up offensively, it messes them up defensively. I think that's one of the big things tonight.
Yeah, I think one of the other I would point out to, they just made a trade for Terry Rozier.
Ooh, fourth
and,
key.
And Terry Rozier, like, he loves to play the Kings. Like, he's hammered the Kings all season long. Like, he had the big blow-up game early when they beat, when Charlotte beat the Kings. Like, this is a player that he's still finding his way and how he fits into their roster. But when he steps on the court and he looks across and he sees the Kings again, he's going to be like, all right, I know, I feel...
I know how to do this.
I know where I'm at. I know what this means. It's go time.
No. Yikes. Yeah. Yikes. All right. Well, hopefully the Kings are listening right now down in South Beach.
Yeah, I think so.
He's getting ready for the game, tapped into Kyle and James on ESPN 1320.
There we go.
And if they follow these keys and avoid the Miami flu, but of course that's not something they can do tonight. That has to be based on how they prepared yesterday.
No, totally. Totally. So, and hey,
like
Kyle,
I said, if they come out flat tonight, I'm not going to come in here tomorrow and lambaste them. I'll get it.
Okay. I mean, I think we all have those days, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, there's
you know
a few
what?
Days.
No, you know what? Hey, you know what? No, I've never had a day like an NBA player can have in Miami. I can confidently say that.
You've never rolled in here and been like, oh, what was I thinking?
No, not to this. No, not at that level. Not at all.
Not at that level.
Definitely Las Vegas a couple times like that.
Well, Kyle, the good thing is that tomorrow we will talk about all of these keys and we'll give away a $100 gift certificate to Jiffy Lube as part of our Jiffy Lube Fast Break giveaway. And you'll also be put in for a Sacramento Kings jersey if you somehow win. So, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, so tomorrow's player of the game is your last chance to enter for January's jersey giveaway.
Oh, so we're going to give away a jersey soon.
Yeah, we sure are.
Do we even know what jersey, or are we going to let people choose?
No, we do know which jersey. I haven't gotten confirmation which one it is.
Oh.
But there's a couple of Foxes, a Sabonis, and a Murray.
Ooh.
So I got to find out exactly which one it is, but we'll be giving away that tomorrow, starting at 10 o'clock. We will tell you how to enter to win that. All right, more coming up next on ESPN 1320.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Here's a good question from Dr. David.
Yeah?
In the chatty house, youtube.com/ESPN1320, twitch.tv/ESPN1320 if you want to hang out with us, hang out in the chatty house. Always a good conversation happening there. Regardless of what we're talking about, chatty house is going to have a good convo going. That's what I love about it. Mm-hmm. So you can join it there. Dr. David asked if Monty McNair would include Sasha in any trades.
That is a really, really intriguing question.
Cue. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you have to look at Sasha in a couple of different ways, too.
Yeah.
So, first of all, he signed a 3-year deal, but the third year is non guaranteed, mm-hmm. or it's partially guaranteed. And so, like, a team could look at him in a couple of different ways. For me, if I'm looking at it right now and I have to choose between him and Trey Lyles, in all honesty, I choose Trey Lyles.
Yeah, it's not even a question for me.
Yeah, so that's so if he has to be included in a trade, my only concern is that the Kings believe what the Kings believe he will be, and how much they sold him being in Sacramento for his career as part of this equation and all that. There is something in me that says that there like promises may have been made to get him to Sacramento, and then to go back on your word and trade him 3 months later might not have been what some of those promises were about. And so I think that he does have game, and I think that there is a way that he can help a team.
Mm-hmm.
And I even think there's a way he can help the Kings.
I would agree.
But I'd even say at this point, if you were to go out and get another forward,
mm-hmm.
I would probably include one of my forwards. And if I had to choose between my forwards, I'm going to have, you know, Keegan Murray is untouchable in this scenario. And then after that, the next guy down is the next best player is Harrison Barnes. And then the next best, I would start tiering them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to see what you can get away with a trade. And, you know, like we were talking at the break, and someone, for some reason, people bring up Jonathan Isaac all the time. And like,
can I real quick talk about Sasha real quick?
Yeah.
Just last thing on it. It's not about getting rid of Sasha.
No.
It's not the Kings need to just get rid of this guy. It is that, hey, you know what? He could probably be a valuable asset who doesn't have a consistent role here, and maybe another team views him as a valuable asset who could have a consistent role on their team. That's why his name is being brought up. It's not because he stinks or something.
No. Well, and I'd even add that if you're looking at him and Trey Lyles, if you're looking at them as potential trade guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
One of them makes $8 million. One of them makes like $6.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
So like they're almost interchangeable in a deal, and that's why I bring him up.
Oh, it's okay.
Like,
yeah.
Like again, when you're looking at the Sacramento Kings, you have to look at players at some point as their salary cap figure.
Mm-hmm.
You've got Fox, and you've got Sabonis, and you've got Keegan Murray, and then you have to know what Keegan Murray will be down the road as far as salary.
Mm-hmm.
Then after that, like it sounds horrible and just like not very nice, but Kevin Huerter has to be looked at as like a $17.5 million salary as a trade block that you can move.
Right.
And Harrison Barnes, if you're trying to get a $40 million player, it's going to take a $17 and a $18 million player to get to 35. So you're within 25% to make a trade. And that's how you have to look at these guys at some point, which is lame and not cool. And it feels bad, but
the reality, man,
but it is a reality that these guys are, you know, you can't go out and trade Davion Mitchell for anyone in the league. He makes $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you tack in Chris Duarte's $4 million, now you got $9 million. So now you might be able to get up to $12 million player.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you have to kind of look at these things at some point. And it's not just like, how do I throw all these things in and have them come out the other side and like, you know, have a trade work. Because there are very strict rules to NBA trades.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like, that's why I like the NFL so much with their salary cap structure. Because you can trade anybody for anybody as long as you got the cap space for it.
Well, yeah, but then you deal with dead money and you deal with
No doubt. It's not 100% that, but it's not, you don't have to salary match and do all that. It's like if the salaries work for this year, you have to figure out next year. But if the salaries work this year, you're golden.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And so, anyway, to
back to Jonathan Isaac.
Finish the point on Jonathan Isaac.
Yeah,
like
please.
I like Jonathan Isaac as a player. Like he does fit like what you might think the Kings need. 6'11", crazy wingspan, crazy athleticism. Kyle, he's played 176 games in a 7-year career, and Harrison Barnes' games played streak is at 185. The conversation's over. I'm not paying a guy $17.6 million next year as well who doesn't play basketball. And it's unfortunate because, you know, the Kings were on the court when he blew out his knee in the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
And watching Harry Giles go over and talk to him while he's laying on the ground and had blown out his ACL, and you knew he had blown out his ACL. And watching Harry Giles, a guy who had been through it multiple times, having like a conversation with him on the court, that was hard.
Yeah.
But if you want to be a team that doesn't miss games, you don't go trade for players that miss games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is what it is.
Even when, and again, I couldn't agree more with you. This is not about Jonathan Isaac on paper necessarily.
No.
Like, because on paper, he makes all the sense in the world. And honestly, a reason he's probably available is because of everything you just said. If Jonathan Isaac was playing 80 games a year, 75 games a year, whatever number, I don't think the Magic are like, yeah, we need to get rid of this guy.
Well, they probably wouldn't have drafted both Mo Wagner and Paolo Banchero.
Great point.
They probably wouldn't even have been in the running to draft one of those players because they probably would have been a better team.
Yeah.
But the fact is, he's not. He doesn't play, and you're not a good team when he's on. He doesn't help your team win because he can't stay on the court long enough to play.
Yeah, and I don't hate the idea of, like, if Jonathan Isaac was a free agent.
Yeah, like a low budget, like 2 year five.
Take a flyer. Right. And in fact, frankly, that's what I think the Kings need to probably do a lot of this offseason is just go find, you're 6'10 and athletic. Maybe you can play. Maybe you can't. Get in here and we'll see. And if he's a free agent, I would love the idea. I'd be all aboard.
Yeah.
But I'm not giving up assets to go get him.
No, I'm fully on board with that too. It's tough because some of these players, they can help you.
Yeah.
But you have to balance so many things when you're making commitments. And like, you're certainly not going to trade Harrison Barnes, a guy who doesn't miss any games, for a guy who plays, you know, what amounts to two NBA seasons in seven.
No matter how, putting it like that is nuts. That's just it. No matter how much better Jonathan Isaac is than Harrison Barnes is better when Jonathan Isaac isn't playing.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's...
Yeah, and I would say that Harrison Barnes has proven to be a much better player than Jonathan Isaac over his career, and part of that's because Jonathan Isaac just can't, like, he can't develop as a player because he's not on the court.
Yeah.
So, it's tough.
His third season, he played 34 games. He's 11.9 points, 6.8 boards, and over two blocks a game, almost 2.5 blocks a game.
Yeah. Kirilenko, that's like what
you'd
he...
Love to, right, you'd love that stat line as the Kings' backup center.
He's a Andre Kirilenko type player, like a
I shouldn't say backup center, next to Domas.
Yeah, he's a disruptive fourth. He can be. He but the fact that he can't play.
Yeah, that's
most
just
of
it.
The time. I'm like, hey, conversation's over.
Yeah, we can talk, and that's so. And like I said, you can talk injury flyers in free agency. That's fine, but at the trade deadline, I would way rather go see them. I get a player that they are much more confident will be on the court and impactful for this year.
No, totally. If they're making a move, you've got to improve the top. Like I would say, I would like to see them improve the starting lineup, but I think you're more likely you need to improve the top seven of your rotation.
I want to get back to what we were talking about earlier with instead of a report from the Athletic, it was a discussion in the Athletic, a write-up, an article in the Athletic.
Yeah.
From David Aldridge and Josh Robbins. David Aldridge, of course, very plugged in Washington, D.C. Josh Robbins is a beat writer for the Wizards out there.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle Kuzma, they went through the entire Wizards roster and were like, all right, if they make the whole roster available, who goes where for what? And the Kings came up as a fit for Kyle Kuzma. And the deal that, and I don't want to get into the Kuzma fit, does he not? Like, we've done that a million times.
Yep.
Talked about the merits of it. Great. The trade that Josh Robbins lays out is Kyle Kuzma to the Kings for Kevin Huerter and Trey Lyles. And I know that you're big on the Kyle Kuzma idea because his contract is relatively affordable. He does things that would immediately help the Kings if you plug him into their rotation. And again, that affordability aspect of it is key. Do you still like the deal if it's Huerter plus Lyles?
No. And I think one of the reasons why I'm not even considering that deal, like maybe you consider, like, again, Davion Mitchell and Kevin Huerter in a trade, right?
Sure.
But I don't think I'm crushing my depth and then having to come up with a new starting shooting guard in order to make that deal. And again, I like Kuzma.
Yes.
As a player, I like his contract better. And I also like the idea that if Kyle Kuzma doesn't work out a year from now, 2 years from now, because of his contract and just the declining scale and what it is, it's so easily movable. If it doesn't work out, just okay, it didn't work out. We can move him very easily, right? Yeah. I think if you're dealing with Washington is a team who on the season is 9-37.
Mm-hmm.
9-37. They're done. They're cooked. And they're not cooked this year. They're cooked next year. They're probably cooked the year after.
And they thought they were assembling a team that was going to like win a little.
I think they're assembling a team that would help them like get through a time, right? Like a group of seasons.
They thought they were putting together a roster that wasn't going to be 9-37 after 46 games.
Yes. So at this point, though, if you're dealing with Washington, what Washington watches it is the trade capital. And I think the biggest piece to what Josh Robbins and David Aldridge wrote was very specific. It's that, you know, Washington has been asking for two first round picks, but that price is probably a little higher than what they're willing to accept. And so if I'm the Kings, I'm trying to figure out a way to piece together a deal that does not include Kevin Huerter, certainly, mm-hmm. and not even Harrison Barnes. If this is the player Harrison Barnes is going to be, and I can get that player, Harrison Barnes, the player
who's
been here... the one from the last few games, but the one that's been in Sacramento for the last 5 years.
Right.
If I can get that player as my third forward with Keegan Murray and Kyle Kuzma as my starters, okay. So now how do I construct a deal?
Right.
And like, there are ways you can do it, but that's where you start like, okay, if you have to trade Trey Lyles in a deal like that, where you're not giving up Kevin Huerter, but you're giving up Trey Lyles. But so you're looking at Lyles, you're looking at Duarte, you're looking at Davion Mitchell, and throw in, whether it's Kessler or throw in, like, that's, you can make the money work without attaching either Huerter or Barnes. And now, if you're the Kings and you're trying to get good now and you're trying to take a huge step now, if there's a way that you can do that without touching the run it back core, where you're inserting a top five player into your rotation, maybe probably a starter. Let's even say like Kuzma might even be like your fourth best player, maybe fifth, right?
Yeah.
Right there. But if you're doing that, now what that does to the rest of your rotation is amazing.
Right.
And the fact that you're losing Trey Lyles is a bummer, but the fact that you're inserting Harrison Barnes into that spot and Kuzma is taking Harrison Barnes' spot in the rotation.
Yeah.
See, now that's when it's like, okay, would I give up a first? Yeah, I'm giving up a lottery protected first.
Yes.
In 2026 and 27, well, like whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also giving up maybe one or two second round picks as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a happy medium where they may not want the player. That's kind of where they're at. They don't need the player. What they need is a couple of contracts, a couple of people that might actually fit into their rotation right now just so they can get through this season and next.
Mm-hmm.
But realistically, they're making a trade to get to get the draft picks, the draft capital.
Yeah, and that's where, so our guy Buddha said that's a championship level team right there. I don't know, but I feel way better about that version of the Kings than I do this one. The one that you just laid out, where it's Kuzma in the starting lineup and now Harrison Barnes is your seventh guy.
Yeah.
And that I like that so much better. Let's get Kenny Caraway in here. D'Lo and Casey, Kenny Caraway in here for the handoff. What's going on, Kenny?
Yo.
How do you feel about that idea? So I don't know how much of that you heard, but in The Athletic today, David Aldridge and Josh Robbins from Washington, they mentioned a Kyle Kuzma trade to the Kings, and a hypothetical one, not a report, not a sourced thing, just throwing
it
out there.
What would it look like?
Kevin Huerter and Trey Lyles.
Kevin Huerter and Trey Lyles.
So James and I are both pretty much out on that idea.
Yeah.
But if it's Trey Lyles and then the other stuff to make the money work for Kyle Kuzma, where you have Kuzma in your starting lineup and now Harrison Barnes is your seventh guy.
Mm-hmm.
That, I think, makes the Kings really significantly better in a way that just Kyle Kuzma in a vacuum does not.
My first thought is I'd rather keep Kevin Huerter and trade Harrison Barnes. Now, why Washington would do that, not exactly sure. No knock on Harrison. It's just, you know, he's got more years on his contract, more money, things of that nature. And they're probably not trying to add a whole lot of long-term salary.
Sure.
So that would be an issue. But my first thought, if we're just talking players and what I'd rather do, is I'd rather keep Trey Lyles and move Harrison Barnes.
Really?
Mm-hmm. If I'm judging those two at this point, I think Huerter does, because he's 25, because he does stretch defense and all that stuff. That's one thing. But I also, if I'm the Kings, I try to get it. I try to get a deal done without either of them in it.
Oh, for sure.
And if you can do that, that's where
That's where you're laying out.
That's first and foremost. Like I just, I'm saying Harrison because I feel like you got to give somebody up.
But
if you can do a situation where both Barnes and Herter stay.
But you said, real quick, I'm fascinated by this. You said you'd rather trade Harrison Barnes than Trey Lyles.
Yeah, I trust Trey Lyles in that role more than Harrison Barnes at this point.
That's
coming off the bench and being able to do stuff. I mean, I need somebody that can stretch the floor and isn't going to be afraid to stretch the floor and shoot and is going to rebound and could potentially play you know, the four or the five in certain situations coming off the bench. And I trust Trey Lyles a little bit more with that right now than I do Harrison Barnes.
That's what I'd be fascinated to see, because I don't know if I agree or disagree with that, which is good radio. But I would be fascinated to see what Harrison Barnes looks like if put into that role. Because James, you and I were talking about earlier, the like what makes Harrison Barnes valuable is his ability to take on a role within a team that is a background role, that is a fringe. Okay, you're in the starting five, but you're very much number five among those five. I'd be really interested to see if he is the second guy off the bench, where there are going to be times every night where, yeah, hey, you're probably the number two scoring option, maybe the number three scoring option.
Real quick, I'll say something about that.
Yeah,
and I like Harrison. I love Harrison, but I don't know what happened. I want to be perfectly clear when I say that. I'm just trying to figure out what happened. But he was asked to take like the most reduced role ever in his career this past year, and he was gone for 40 games. Like, he couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
He couldn't do it and still be productive. He was like, oh, well, you need me to be the fifth scorer? Well, I'm just gone. And not that he was pouting or anything like that. I'm just saying he didn't know how to handle that.
But
so now for like, yo, come off the bench.
For an increased role, though.
Yeah.
Increased, but Trey Lyles has plenty of nights where he gets four or five shots.
Yeah.
Like, he's not getting a lot of looks.
I would think that if you had Harrison Barnes as your off the bench with Malik Monk as your two centerpieces off the bench, that you're going to have... That Barnes is going to play a much more crucial role than he did as a starter. And it's what we always talk about when it comes to why you don't put Malik Monk in the starting lineup. You put Malik Monk where he's best suited, which is as that guy off the bench who gets to do whatever he wants. You put him alongside De'Aaron Fox, and we see it in bursts during the game. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But having two ball handlers on the court at one time is a good thing to have. But also, there's times where it just doesn't work and it's clunky. And so, in my opinion, like having Harrison Barnes move to the bench might just open up a whole new world for him. He goes from number five to number two, and that's a huge deal. And like, yeah, you got to build out the rest of the roster, right? Because you do. If you make that move, if you somehow make a move with Kevin Herter and with Harrison Barnes still on the roster to go get Kyle Kuzma, it really does got your depth. So you're looking at no more Chris Duarte, no more Davion Mitchell. You're looking at no more Trey Lyles.
Right.
And you're probably looking at no more Kessler Edwards, right? Or no more Colby Jones or no more Alex Len. One of those pieces is going. And so now you got to look at your team and go, how does this piece together? And then how do I recover after that? And can Keon Ellis backfill? Can, if Colby Jones is still on the roster, can Colby Jones backfill? Or do I need to make a secondary move to go get another piece? Do I need to go trade a second round pick to a team that has a hole and needs to, or has a salary cap issue? Like the Golden State Warriors. Is there a player on the Golden State Warriors that's a low budget player, but you could give a second round pick to, and you absorb that contract into your 15th roster spot and they save, you know, upwards of $40 million. Yeah. Like, there's something like that out there that you could actually keep stacking up and making your team better. That's where it starts to get, it gets interesting. And that's why I don't like waiting until the last second, because all of these things have to fall into place at the same time.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for me right now is
That's great.
You keep using a qualifier. I love Harrison Barnes. It's not a dig at him, and it's not about his talent. I just don't trust him. I don't trust him to show up. I don't trust him. And that doesn't mean I don't believe he can. I just don't trust him.
But you don't trust him because this has been more than a decade of this.
Mm-hmm.
This is just kind of who he is as a player. And it's not bad, but I understand why you wouldn't want to be like, yeah, let's give that guy a bigger role.
It's funny because I don't trust Kyle Kuzma, but I trust his contract. And so now, if you're not trusting one guy and I'm not trusting the other, what's going on?
With Kuzma, he may do like weird stuff, but I know you're going to, one way or another, you're going to know he's out there. I don't like that. I don't know. Harrison could just be a ghost.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable with that.
I think there's a role there, though, where he could really find success and be a and it would like make him a much better player within the confines of who the Kings are. So, and we're talking about shooting, we're talking about versatility defensively, mm-hmm. we're talking about a guy. And if you need to go big at some point, and you can go Fox or Monk with mm-hmm. Harrison Barnes, Kyle Kuzma, and Keegan Murray all on the front line together with Sabonis mm-hmm. or with JaVale McGee. I don't know. It's intriguing to me. I would at least, if I can venture down this road and I can put a deal together for pieces, I would do it.
Mm-hmm. Last thing real quick, then we got to get to D'Lo and KC. Kenny, would you, by the way, next week, we're calling it D'Lo and Kenny.
Yeah,
KC allowed. Okay, yeah, very good.
Not next week.
Okay. Yeah, that's for
no Tech City. 9 yeah, being
yeah.
played either.
Yeah, no chance. Real quick, you're an all-star replacement in the NBA All-Star game in Indiana. You know you're not going to play a lot. Do you want to go?
I want to go because I like the all-star stuff. Okay. I don't know if these NBA players feel the same way about that, especially if you've already gone.
Mm. No doubt. All right, very good. That's Kenny Caraway. D'Lo and KC are coming up next right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.